The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 9, text number 14, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 27th, 2015, in Melbourne, Australia.
Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu and Smadanam, remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatma's great souls strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any condition, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Jatapata Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganditan Vitam Tajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Desha Tarine. So, what are some of the important points covered here? The first thing is we are returning to our original position in the spiritual world by this process. In other words, you are actually, even though you may feel yourself a citizen here with your Australian passports or whatever you have, you may feel you're connected here, this is your identity, it's not a fact. You're actually a resident of the spiritual world. The transcendental, it's called, in Sanskrit, it's called Paravyama. Have you boys heard of that? You've heard of that? Hello? 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 Are you with? You're listening to me? You tuned in? Listen to me. This is for you to learn. You are not a citizen of this material world. Do you know that? You are a resident of the kingdom of God. That's your actual identity. So we may identify with different things here in this material world, but this is called false identification, ahankar. It's called ahankar. You're not that material body. You're not a boy. You're not Indian, you see. You're an eternal spiritual being. Every one of us is an eternal spiritual being. We are one of the Lord's associates in His transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world. So if you identify by that flesh and blood, if you call that yourself, my dear sir, my dear madam, you are grossly cheating yourself big time. Okay? So don't do that. Don't rip yourself off with this false identification with your material body. Kick it out. You've been cheated and lied to from the moment you, even in the womb, you were being lied to. I wonder if it's a boy or it's a girl, they were saying, you see. So, you are not that body, that's the first thing. You're actually an eternal resident of the transcendental realm. Now, the scientists tell us there's nothing beyond this material world, but if you actually analyze what they're doing, they're giving their own myth. Their own creation myth, that's all. Because I had an interesting exchange with one leading scientist many years ago when I was a young brahmachari monk. I attended one function at the University of Florida, and the learned PhD told us about the black holes in outer space. I'm not debating their existence or non-existence here. But I raised my hand. I said, "My dear sir, what you're saying, is this a theory or is it a fact?" And he said, "I think it's a fact." Now, look at the word "I think," okay? That's a big word, "I think," okay? So anyway, a few more questions came in. And then I got recognized once again. I said, throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory comes into popularity for some period of time, and then eventually it's replaced by another theory. So how do we know that your theory, this is called a loaded question, how do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? And he took the loaded question, he fell for it. He said, "Well, I hope it is, because then we'll be making progress." So just see the rascaldom. He has stated this is a fact. And in the future it will be proven it's not true, and that will be the progress of science. This is how the whole thing has gone on, you see. And now they're telling us that everything comes out of nothing. Dr. Stephen Hawking, he says everything comes out of nothing. This is the latest discovery of the great leading scientist. Everything has come out of nothing. Well, I'm sorry, sir. Science means you have to have an experiment. You have to have data. You can't just pull it out of the air and make your own creation myth, sir. You have to have data to back up your theory. Where's the data? Where's the experiment that you can go to the lab, you can take nothing and get something out of it? Where's your experiment? Do you boys understand this point? Have you ever taken nothing and gotten something out of it? It's not possible. You can't do that, you see. So, in other words, it's not science. What do we call it? Look it up in the dictionary. It's called dogma. What they call science is actually dogma. They're just pushing some dogmatic creation myth down our throats. They're saying, accepting this is coming from a big PhD, so you have to take it. This is dogma. It's not science. You understand? So look at it scientifically. Analyze things scientifically. You have a God, you have a brain. Everyone has a brain. Use your brain to understand. You see, things come from things. This harmonium came from a place. It came from a place. This flashlight came from, what is it called? Kathmandu, one of your Australian stores, isn't it? Kathmandu. So it took the raw materials. So everything comes from something. And if you go back to the original something, that's called the origin of existence. Now, some argue there is no original something. There's an infinite chain of causality. It goes on ad infinitum. There's no actually one point of origin. But that's not logical, because if you have a roll of you know, the domino theory, you know, we push. You have to have one domino that moves on its own to make all the dominoes move. You see? even with an infinite chain of dominoes, one of them has to move on its own to get the thing moving. You understand? In philosophy, it's called the unmoved mover. There has to be an unmoved mover to get things moving. So even with an infinite chain of causality, still you have to have an unmoved mover. You see? So there is that unmoved mover, that original cause of everything that's going on. And in Sanskrit, it's called Adi, the origin. So there's a nice verse, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Krishna, the original origin of everything. So according to great sages who actually personally qualify themselves to see God face to face, okay? This material world is a covering, it's a cloud. This material energy is a covering cloud. It's always a cloudy, you may say it's a sunny day today in Melbourne, but actually it's a cloudy day. For those of us who haven't or not seeing God at every minute, it's a cloudy day every day. We're covered over the clouds called the three modes of material nature, sattvagun, rajagun, tamagun. These are three types of clouds that are covering our vision. Okay. So, just as the sun can melt away the clouds, there's another type of sun that can melt away the clouds of passion, ignorance, and goodness, and that's called Harinam. Hare Krishna mantra. So that's why we want you to chant Hare Krishna. Okay? Wake up. That's why we want you to chant Hare Krishna. Not that we, you know, we're not trying to just waste your time with some silly little sing-alongs. No. We want to give you a powerful mechanism, a powerful tool, a powerful mantra that you can utilize to completely dissipate, all the clouds that are covering your consciousness right now that prevent you from seeing that original person face to face, eye to eye. He's actually fully present. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, ekopyasavrachayutam jagannandakotim yachchakshnirvasti jagannandachayayaranta andantarasta paramanuchayantarastam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. He is an undifferentiated entity. As there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof, in his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist within him, and he is present within it in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord whom I adore. So these are great sages who are able to dissipate all the clouds of covering their consciousness, the clouds of passion, ignorance, and goodness. They were able to directly perceive the Supreme Person, the original origin of everything, and they wrote about him for our benefit, just like a scientist may have a discovery and he writes about it for our benefit. You see? So these are the original scientists. They're called this is called Vedic science. This may appear to be a church or a temple, but actually, in the higher sense, this is an academy of Vedic science. This is a Vedic science academy. We practice devotional activities not for this, just for some out of some sentiment. We practice devotional activities because this is a scientific technique for reestablishing unrestricted connection with that Supreme Person, the source of all existence. So this process works. If you work the process, it'll work. That's why I was trying to get everybody to chant. That's why I'm trying to get you to pay attention right now. Hey, come on. I want you to pay attention. Because by hearing, you will be connected with this process. If your mind wanders away to some of the floor over there, you see you're not going to get the benefit. I want you boys to tune in. I want you to get the benefit of hearing this lecture because this is not my words. I'm just a FedEx delivery man. I'm just delivering something coming from that original person. I'm just the delivery guy. That's all I am. I'm not just an ordinary person like you, but I happen to have a job of being the delivery man for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I've been trained for 44 years how to purely present that knowledge coming from him. That's my only occupation. That's all I do. I travel all over the world and I present the teachings of Krishna for the sake of making a revolution on this planet to bring everybody back to their original consciousness, to bring peace back to this ever more disturbed world Recently, I've heard you had that horrible terrorist attack in Sydney. The guy went crazy in Sydney about a year ago. All this stuff is happening now in the U.S., San Bernardino. Some Muslim people went crazy. We have nothing against Muslims. We have nothing against anybody. But we just want to see that everybody can learn how to appreciate God in a loving way and love all of God's children. This is our program, you see. When you have your loving relationship with God, you become peaceful. You become happy, you see. If you think you're the center of the universe, then there's problems, you see. If I think I'm the center and you think you're the center, then we're going to have a conflict sooner or later, and that's the problem. That's the big problem in the world today. People think they're the center, or our group is the center, you see. This is a big problem. Actually, there's only one group, and that's all living entities. To divide it up into Muslims or Hindus or Christians or Australians or Americans, this is bodily consciousness, and it creates turmoil in the world. So we have the Krishna consciousness movement is reestablishing the original principle of unity in the world, that we are all servants of the one supreme person. He can be called Allah, he can be called Krishna, you can call him Christ, call him Jehovah, call him Ram, call him Govinda. There's one supreme person who is the source of all existence. He has unlimited names, unlimited qualities, and unlimited pastimes. But we have there's one way to connect with him, purely and fully. You can partially connect with in certain ways, but to fully connect with him, all the scriptures confirm, whether it's the Bible, the Quran, or the Gita, all the scriptures of the world confirm there's only one way to fully connect with him, and that is through love. So in this Vedic Institute here, the Hare Krishna Temple, we are teaching you the techniques, the scientific system of how you can actually revive pure love of God within your heart. It's not an artificial imposition on you. It's just like a match has fire within it. It's already there. The fire is already within the match. You simply have to strike it and boom, the fire comes out. So you actually are a perfect spiritual being right now. You have a fully perfected spiritual being, but it's covered, that's all. It's just covered. Just like gold might be covered by stool, you see. Your pure spiritual nature, you are just as pure and just as advanced as any of the greatest personalities in the history of the universe. Every one of you is on the highest level of spiritual perfection. But it's covered now by passion, ignorance, goodness. It's covered by false pride, you see. So by humbling oneself to chant the holy names of God, that yes, I'm not God, I'm God's servant, you see. You have to humble yourself. I'm not God, I'm the servant of God. By humbling yourself, chanting the holy names of the Lord, then you will have a spiritual awakening that I don't have to tell you. It's just like you're eating a meal, I don't have to tell you you're getting filled up. When you actually take this process of chanting very seriously, that now I want to awaken my original pure spiritual nature, so I'm going to chant Hare Krishna and give it a try. These Hare Krishna people said it would work. Well, I don't know. I'm skeptical. I've been misled by so many people again and again. Someone says this is the way. Someone says that is the way. Well, at least I suggest, if you've been misled a million and one times, give it a try. You've got nothing to lose. We don't charge any money for this. I guarantee you it's good for your health, it's good for your mental health, good for your brain, good for your body. It's all around a very good tonic for you to chant Hare Krishna. Even if you don't think it's going to achieve this, take you to the perfectional stage, it's a very good tonic for anything that ails you. But actually, if you do chant it faithfully, following the instructions in Prabhupada's books, it's no secret wisdom. You just pick up get a Bhagavad Gita today if you don't have one, or get some more books. These books tell the whole science. I have my book also here called Truth Works. It'll be available in a few minutes. It's a great book. It tells you how to put this knowledge into practice and actually realize God very quickly and easily in the comfort of your own living room. So kindly give this a go. Give it a try. All we are saying is give Krishna a chance. So I think there may be some questions. I'd be happy to try to answer them. There's something here, yes? This is my wife here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. Yes?
Give Krishna a chance. Why don't we say, give yourself a chance?
Yes, give yourself a chance to why cheat yourself?
To know who you are.
Why? Give yourself a chance to actually experience unlimited happiness, unlimited bliss, and eternality. Give yourself a chance, you see. The fact is, all we're really doing here is telling you who you are and how to actually realize who you are. How to be. We're telling you who you are and how to be who you are. That's the whole, in a nutshell, what we're teaching here. We're telling you who you are and telling you how to fully be who you are. You see, the material society hasn't told you who you are. They teach you that temporary material body, which is going to rot and get old and be thrown in a grave or a cremation fire. You see, or if you're a Parsi, thrown to the vultures. That's who you are, you see. But that's bogus. You are an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with the Supreme Person. You are meant to be fully in harmony, just like in an orchestra. All the instruments work harmoniously along with the conductor, and it becomes a beautiful symphony orchestra. That's what the spiritual world is like. There's the supreme conductor, and everybody's playing their own instruments, their own individual instruments, very beautifully and wonderfully, and it's just an incredible, beautiful, harmonious, orchestrated festival going on there eternally. So all you got to do is get back and resynchronize yourself with the Supreme. Okay, so we have some questions coming in here. Let's see. Will Krishna accept service by using your material qualifications to come and help the temple? Yeah, sure. You can use whatever talent you have, use it. Just like George Harrison, he was a very good singer and songwriter, so he used his talents for our movement. He made that My Sweet Lord song. So whatever talent you have, by all means, let us use your talent in Krishna's service. Or renunciation from fruitive activities is an absolute must. Now, use whatever activities you're able to do nicely. Offer the result to Krishna like George did, you see. On a side note, yourself and Mataji has stayed with us. This is talking about my wife and myself. With our dearest friend, Shiva Kumar and somebody, Mataji, at this residence in Houston, Texas for 3 days in 2003. You were instructing and guiding them in Krishna consciousness. They offered their obeisances to you. Okay, well, that's nice. We're happy we're able to touch someone in a wonderful way that they've appreciated. How do we prove the existence of God? It's very simple. Existence must have an origin, because nothing comes from nothing. Everything comes from something. Therefore, existence must come from something. Another argument, this very good argument, is every machine has an operator. Show me some machine that doesn't have an operator. Therefore, since every machine has an operator and says, I can see that the universe also operates as a machine, I can guess that the universal machine must also have an operator. Why every machine have an operator except for that one? It's not logical. You understand? It's not logical. When Newton deduced the law of gravity, did he check every apple tree in the orchard? No. He saw a whole bunch of apple trees that were dropping apples, so he deduced that all the apple trees are dropping apples. So I don't have to see every machine in the whole universe. I can see enough machines to deduce that every machine has an operator. Therefore, this universal machine also must have an operator. There's God's proven right there, scientifically and logically. Perfectly proved, scientifically and logically, that there is a supreme operator. Okay. What is the purpose of our life? To learn how to live in a state of harmony with that supreme operator. You see, since the whole thing operates like a machine, and every part of the machine has to be in sync with the rest of the machine to be a healthy part of the machine. If your finger isn't working properly, you go to the doctor to get it fixed. So each one of us is a part of the greater whole, and we have to live in harmony with that greater whole. That's our healthy state. If you're not living in a state of harmony with the greater whole, you're in a disease state. And you have to go to a doctor. In this case, you have to go to a guru who's going to get you plugged back in and teach you how to reharmonize yourself with the supreme source of all existence. If some devotee hurts us, that's a devotee doesn't hurt anyone. A devotee doesn't hurt anyone. If someone's hurting you, they're not really a devotee yet. Maybe they're trying to be a devotee, but they haven't learned how to be a devotee yet. Devotee doesn't hurt anyone. All he does is bless everyone wherever he goes. That's a devotee.
You don't need on the other side.
Huh?
If I'm thinking that I'm body, then I got hurt.
Or maybe actually the devotee was really helping you, but you didn't realize it. He pointed out some defect in your practice that was blocking you from realizing Krishna. But because you were too attached to material sense gratification, he said, "Why are you trying to hurt me?" You see, I like my cigarettes. If we have anger, how to control it from becoming more and hurting the person on the other side? Every time you get angry, just go, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Your anger will just go flying out the window. If the mind gets deviated while chanting, what are we supposed to do? Just bring it back. My dear mind, what are you doing going away from Krishna's holy name? It's okay for you to go away from anger, but don't go away from Krishna's holy name. My dear mind, come on back. We love you. Okay, how come that everything has to come from something? In other words, couldn't something come from nothing? That's what they're asking. Couldn't something come from nothing? Well, show me an example, Mr. Scientist. Show me one example of something that came out of nothing, and then we can you can show me one thing that came out of nothing, then we could say, yeah, maybe things come out of nothing. If you can show me one thing that comes out of nothing anywhere in the history of the universe, show me any one thing that came out of nothing, then we can entertain this idea that maybe something came out of nothing. But there is no such example in the history of the universe. So the question is, where did Krishna come from? That's answered by Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita. Ramani Murti Shikalani Amena Tishtanana Batara Mukarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Svayam Samabhat Paramapaman Yoga Vindamadi Purusham Damaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna in the different avatars in the world in the form of Rama, Nishringa, Vamana, etc., his subjective portions. So, Krishna has come from Govinda. Well, who's Govinda? He's Krishna. So Krishna is self-manifested. Yes, everything comes from Krishna, including Krishna. Krishna comes from Krishna also. He's self-manifested. You say, well, how can he do that? I can't self-manifest. Why, he can self-manifest and I can't? Because he's God. He can do that, but you can't. He can self-manifest. That's his position. You see? That's his position. Any more questions? It's like the question well is run dry. If there's anybody who has some questions, all right, go ahead. Let me see if I can hear. Somebody may help me. Go ahead, sir.
Krishna comes from nothing.
I couldn't understand the question.
Krishna comes from nothing.
Krishna doesn't come from nothing. Krishna comes from Krishna. And Krishna is not nothing. Huh?
Where did he come from?
He comes from Krishna. Here it's described this way by Lord Brahma. Ishvaraha paramaha krishnaha satchirananda vigraha anadir adir govinda sarvakarana karanam. Krishna is the supreme controller. He has an eternal form which is full of bliss and knowledge. He has no origin. And he is the origin of everything, and he's called Govinda. So Krishna has no origin. He doesn't come from anything. He is the origin of everything. He has no origin. That's his position. And we may be envious of why I can't do them. But that's our position. You and I are not the origin of existence. He is.
So there was never nothing. There was never nothing.
That's correct. There was never nothing. Nothing is just a concept. It's just a concept, yeah. There was never a void. You've got it. Very good, sir. You have a good brain. I appreciate that. Okay, next question.
Mom?
We have so many questions in the morning. Now everybody's gone. Their brains have gone blank. We have 15 minutes. Well, we could do the books now, but maybe here's a question coming in. We don't need 15 minutes for the books. Okay. All right. All right. What to do if the mind is still attached to senses and wants to enjoy sense gratification? How shall we protect or perfect ourselves? Yeah, the thing is, because we've identified with this body for millions of lifetimes, birth after birth after birth, we've misidentified with this material body. So our tendency is to think that our happiness is to gratify these bodily senses. So when you actually are enlightened by the scriptures, by a guru, or by saintly devotees, that you're not your material body, and by your own logical analysis as well, that can be done as well. You can be deduced by logical analysis that you're not your body. When that realization comes to you, then you know your real happiness is on a higher level. So how do you get over that addiction to gratifying your senses as the way of becoming happy, when you actually really just need to reconnect your individual self with the Supreme Self and achieve an unlimited ocean of happiness at every minute? How do you break that habit? Well, that is called Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. You have to engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna. That's why this chanting is very important. By chanting, you engage your tongue and your ear in transcendental consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's how it works. And also we have nice food stuff. It's called prasadam. It's spiritual food been offered to Krishna for love and devotion. By eating that food, you become purified, because that's not ordinary food. It's sanctified food. By eating that food, you will get over the tendency to unrestrictedly gratify your tongue with garbage food, which is gives bad karma. So how do I know the purpose of my life? Well, how did I find out the purpose of my life? When I went to college, I knew that that's what I needed to find out, but the teachers weren't telling me. And I began my search in this fall of September 1965, and I didn't really get it fully figured out until the spring of 1971. So that's almost, 5.5 years I went through a struggle trying to figure out the purpose of my life. But the thing is, you have to desire to know the purpose of your life. If you sincerely desire, I must find out the purpose of my existence. Everything else is secondary. The primary goal is to find out why I exist. What is the actual truth of my existence? The Tato Brahma Jigyasa is stated in the Vedic wisdom. The purpose of your life is to find out the absolute truth, you see. So if you have that desire, great. You're on the right path. You're in the right place, because we can help you in it. To actually realize what is the true purpose of life, not some dogmatic cram it down your throat thing, but actually understand, actually feel and understand and vibrate with the highest reality beyond this temporary material existence. Should I take to Krishna? Yes, we recommend Krishna, because Krishna is the Supreme Person, the origin of all existence, and by connecting with Him, you will actually realize who you really are beyond this temporary identity of your body. Why is Krishna Prasadam so tasty? Well, because it's cooked with love and devotion for Krishna, and because when it's offered to Krishna, it becomes transcendentalized with prema, with love of God. Huh? It's free from karma. There's no karma, and it's pure spiritual food. I remember one of the first feasts I took in Austin with Vishnu John Swami. It was very, very simple prasadam. It was just some turmeric and potatoes and some apple chutney and some sweet rice. That's all it was. But it was like heavenly nectar coming down from the transcendental world, you see. So the real thing is, it can be very simple food, but when it's offered to Krishna with love and devotion, it has the transcendental potency to liberate your consciousness from this material existence. Just by one bite, you can realize God. It has that power. Even by one bite, you can fully realize God. It has that much potency. So when you take the foodstuffs, don't just shove it down your throat like ordinary food. Take it with great appreciation and reverence, and you'll feel an amazing awakening within your heart just by eating that food, transcendental food. Okay, so now we have 7 minutes left, so I guess you can introduce the books now. And we thank everybody for tuning in. I want all the people in Austin to see all of you out there, how the big crowd that's here tonight. Let's see if they can see you out here. Devotees in Austin are going to be tuning in. This is going to be uploaded so all the devotees in Austin can see. We want them to see all of you here. This nice, beautiful group of Krishna conscious aspiring people here in Melbourne. Let's see if I got it correctly here. I got to get the right angle. Yeah, is that getting it? Everybody's in the picture. Okay, good. So we're really happy that you all are here today, and all we can say is we love you, and may Krishna bless you with unlimited happiness at every minute, because that's what you really are meant to have. You know, you're never meant to suffer for even a moment. That's your actual position. When people sell you that you got to take the good with the bad, don't believe it. They're cheating you. You got to take the good with the bad. No, you don't have to take any bad. You are an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with God. Don't cheat yourself any longer. Come back to the position of loving relationship with the Supreme, and you'll taste the sweetest bliss at every minute. So I thank you very much, and we'll stop here with the recording. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.